And amen. I tell you what a great day it's been. And I thought Richard's about to just take off and start preaching this morning. If you want to hear him, he's preaching Wednesday night, so don't miss that. He'll be leading us Wednesday night. And I tell you something else that, man, that just blessed me, that last song, Melody. Alana's coming for you. I'm telling you right now, that was some good stuff. We're so proud of you for leading us and singing like that, and an example for all of us. Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And as you turn there, I want to talk to you about this truth today, that God is with us. God with us. Now, when you hear God with us, you probably don't think about John chapter 1. You think about Matthew chapter 1, and you can turn there as well, because in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." The truth that when Jesus came, God is with us, is a powerful truth that is very important for us as believers and as people. It's very important to us because it brings us the assurance and the peace and the joy to know that we have a relationship with the living and almighty God. And in John chapter 1, what he's going to do is he's going to show us really the genealogy of Jesus. But unlike Matthew and Luke and the other Gospels, John's going to take us all the way back from even before the beginning. And what I want us to do is, as we look at this, I want us to see this morning that when Jesus came and was born of the Virgin and born in Bethlehem, that indeed we have God with us. One of my favorite Christmas movies is Home Alone. You see, you're learning about me. We've already watched Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 several times in my household. And we just love that movie. I love that movie. Kevin McAllister, I mean, there he is. And what happens to him? Well, he's left all alone. He's left alone. His parents leave him by accident, but he's left alone. And it's just him. Of course, you know, it's funny because the wet bandits are after him the whole time, and he outsmarts them, and it's a funny movie. But as I was thinking about the fact that God is with us, it reminds me today that none of us have to be alone. And in the truth of Jesus coming tells us that God did not leave us alone. And what we see today is that the God who created everything, the God who created you and me, the God who created the universe, God Himself came, took on flesh to be with us. So let's start reading here in John chapter 1. I'm going to read through verse 3, and then we're going to skip down to verse 14. The Word of God reads, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, just stop right there. I'm going to clue you in on something, and then it'll make more sense to you when we get there in verse 14. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that maybe if you have a pencil or a pen, if you write in your Bible, I write in my Bible. I like to write in my Bible. I like to underline. I like to write in it, okay? And so if you do that, you know, you could underline Word there. In the beginning was the Word. And every time you see the name, that's a name there. That's the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That literally is Jesus. That's who that is. See, you could literally read it, "In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." It says, "He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. And so John takes us all the way back to the beginning. He takes us before anything existed, God was, because God is, because he's eternal. You come there to verse 14 and it says, "And the Word became flesh." That's how we know this is talking about Jesus. The Christmas story in John is summed up right there in that verse. "And the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." God, who created everything, became flesh. God stepped out of heaven. He stepped away from the throne and he came to this earth. He came to the darkness. He came into the cold, dingy cave there in Bethlehem where he was born from the Virgin Mary. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and God came to us to be with us. Here we were alone. God wasn't here in our midst, but God said, "I'm stepping down into the earth that I created, and I'm coming, and I'm going to be with the world. I'm going to be with mankind. I'm going to be with my people." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, we know that God is great and mighty and majestic and high and lifted up. We know that God, he is so far off from us. We know that God is, he is so great. He's so transcendent and he's so mighty and he's so majestic. Yet the promise of Christmas is God, who's unapproachable. God, who is not like you and me, that is so great. God, who created us, he came to be with us. That's the promise of Christmas. That's the gift of Christmas. That's the hope of Christmas. That's the joy of Christmas, that God himself cares about you and me so much that he came to this fallen world and took on flesh to be with us. In the beginning, it says, was the Word, Jesus. When you think about Jesus, you need to understand something today. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is the Son of God. Let me say it another way. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. Here's what that means. There's never been a time when Christ has not existed. He has always been. And so it tells us here in John that this Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, in the beginning was he, the Word, Jesus. When Jesus stepped into this life here on this earth, that's not when Jesus just began being. And there's some religions and there's some cults out there that would tell you that that's when Jesus was created. Friend, you need to understand something today. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the eternal God. He's the second person of the Trinity, and he has always been. He goes on to tell us here, in fact, that not only was he there, but it says here that he was with God, and the Word was God, and he created all things. In the beginning, Jesus was with God. God, we need to understand this today. God is Trinity. Do you know that? God is Trinity. He's the Trinity. God is three in one, one in three. Three persons, one God. One God in three persons. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But now the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Father, and the Father's not the Spirit, and the Spirit's not the Son, and the Son is not the Spirit. The Father is Father, and He is the God Father. The Son is God the Son, and He is God, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and He is God. But this is one God in three persons. Anybody in here confused? Well, you're not alone. I join you in that. Listen to me, my friend. Here's the reality. This is who God is. He's the triune God, co-equal, co-eternal, one God in three persons. And if you and I could understand that, then we would have a problem. Because if we could fully understand who God is, then He wouldn't be God in the first place. Do you know today that God is so high, He is so great, His ways are not our ways, His knowledge is not our knowledge. We cannot fully understand and grasp exactly the greatness of who God is, and we never will be able to. But here's the deal. God came to be with us and to reveal Himself to us, and the Word became flesh. Now, some of you in here today, and maybe a friend of yours that you've been witnessing to, they, you know, you're just thinking, and maybe you're here today and you say, I'm waiting to make a decision on Christ. I'm waiting to make a decision on God until I fully understand. I've spoken to so many people over the years that they have a hesitation to submit and surrender their life to Jesus. Because they believe they need to learn more and they need to know God more. They just, like they think they're going to all of a sudden really understand everything there is to know about God, and then I'll trust in Him. Then I will surrender to Him. Well, here's the reality. You're never going to get there. Because that's who God is. That's why God calls us to a thing called faith. Faith. Believing. God tells us in His Word, this is who I am. And He calls us to place our faith in, to step out and to surrender and say, God, I may not understand it all. God, I may not know everything that there is to know. And everyone in here, we all have questions, and we go through seasons of life when we have questions of why this and why that and this. I mean, we go through this, and here's what God calls us to. He calls us to surrender to Him and say, God, You're God and I'm not. And I surrender to You. I wave the white flag. I trust in You by faith. Your Word says it, so I believe it. Your Word says it, so it's true. Your Word says it, so it's settled. That's what God calls us to. But we see here in John chapter 1, we get this understanding of who God is. God is the triune God, and the second person of the Trinity is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in the beginning was the Word, and He was with God in that community, in that communion, in that fellowship. There's been this eternal fellowship, community, communion between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they have always existed before anything else has ever been. God has always been, and He always will be. And it says in verse 3 that He, the Word, it says, all things were created through Him. Who is that? The Word. All things were created through Him. Look at this. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Understand something today. Who created you? Who created this world? Who created the universe? Who hung the stars, the moon? Who put the sun in its place? Who created everything that exists? The trees, the sky, the clouds, the rain, the rivers, the lakes, the grass, everything. The birds, the animals. Who created everything? The light, the darkness. Who created it all? John tells us who created all. Jesus created it. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning, and all things. I mean, circle that if you need to. If I'm not clear enough, here's what it says. All things were created through Him. Apart from Him, not one thing has been created. This is why, and one of the reasons why and how we know that Jesus is God. He's not just a man. He's the God-man. He's God in the flesh when He came and was born of the Virgin Mary. So, in the beginning, right? Genesis 1:1 sounds a lot like what we read in John. Genesis 1:1, what's it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, as you think about that creation account and you think about here God is and He's creating everything, you come to day six and you got day one, God creates, day two, day three, day... How long did it take God to create? Well, have you read Genesis? They say, where do you stand on that, preacher? I'm going to tell you where I stand. In six literal days, God created everything that exists. And He said, it's finished. It's very good. And on the seventh day, He rested. Not because He was tired, but He just rested. But on the sixth day, God created mankind. He created you and me. And the Bible tells us that mankind, humanity, was and is God's crowning creation. That of everything else, nothing was as beautiful or great in His creation than when He created you and me. The Bible says He created us in His very image. Nothing else did He create in His own image. He created us in the very image of God. Why? Because God created us so that we would know Him. He created us so that we could have a special relationship with Him, that we could know Him and He would know us and we would have a relationship so that we could be with God. We could know God and we could be with God. But in Genesis chapter 3, and I'm just going to turn there and look at it really quick. In Genesis chapter 3, something happens. Starting at verse 8, says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. This is a remarkable passage of Scripture. God's created. He's created Adam and Eve. He's placed them and given them the Garden of Eden. He's given them, Adam, dominion over the world. He says, go rule this world. Name the animals. Cultivate the land. Be the king of this world. Rule it. And he says, But don't eat of this one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that one tree. Because if you eat of that tree, you will sin against me. That's my command for you. Now, if you want to kind of understand what was going on in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had a special relationship with the God, the creator of the universe. I mean, let me kind of put it in perspective with you. There Adam and Eve are in the garden, and Jesus shows up, the second person of the Trinity, God shows up, and it says he's walking in the garden during the cool of the day. He comes maybe on his regular time where he's going to come and have fellowship and walk around with and enjoy time with Adam and Eve. Now, can you imagine that for a second? That God would come and spend that type of intimate time with you and me? But that's exactly what God was saying. That's why God created Adam and Eve. So that they could know him and experience his love and experience his goodness. And so here God is with them, but they had sinned against him at that point. And God knew it. And so he calls out to Adam, Adam, where are you? What are you doing? And they were off hiding. Why? Why were they hiding? Because they had sinned against God, and sin brought great shame into the life of Adam. And it made Adam want to run off and hide from God. They said, we can't be around you. We can't be near you because you're God. You are holy. We've sinned against you. And so what did sin do? Sin separated Adam and Eve from God Almighty. No longer was God going to come walk in the garden with them anymore. That day was over. Sin had entered the equation. They were marked by sin. They were filled with sin. They had sin in their life. And so God said, I'm driving you away. You're not going to be in the garden anymore. And now there's a separation between mankind and God. And what caused that separation? Sin did. Do you know today that apart from the work of Jesus Christ in your life, there's separation between you and God? That sin, your sin, my sin, separates us from God. And the only way for us to be reconciled to him is through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus came. And so the Word became flesh and he came to be with us and to dwell with us so that he could bridge the gap between ourselves and Almighty God. So he drove them out, and so now God is not with them. But if you look on ahead and go from Genesis to Exodus, what do you find? Well, God has his people. They're in Egypt. They've been in bondage and slavery for 400 years. He raises up Moses. Moses leads them out of slavery in Egypt. And he's leading them to the promised land. And as they are leaving Egypt, what does God do? God comes to them and he guides them, and he guides them by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He protects them, he provides for them, he leads them along the way. The presence of God is leading them. They're to follow the presence of God. So the presence of God is there, the glory of God is there. And then here's what happens. God says, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want my presence to be with my people. I want my power and my glory and my presence to be with you. So go, here's what I want you to do. Build this thing called the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the tent of meeting. It was a tent that God had described to them, that Moses built this and put the Ark of the Covenant inside of this tent of meeting, this tabernacle. And when you build it, my presence is going to come and it's going to dwell there, and my presence will be with my people, and I will lead you and I will guide you. And they would take that tent of meeting as they were traveling, and they would take it everywhere they went with the Ark of the Covenant, and the presence of God was with them. They defeated all of their enemies, not because they had strength, but only because the presence of God was with them. And when it was gone, they would lose. They would be defeated. They would be demolished. But when the presence of God was with them, they never failed. They were always victorious. They had the power and the glory of God with them. And so here God's presence came and filled the tabernacle. You can see it in Exodus chapter 40. Look at it with me. I think I have it for the screen, but Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. After the tabernacle was built, it says, "The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was unable to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud rested on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And so God, His presence has come to be back with His people, to care for them, to guide them. Of course, you know, later Solomon would build the temple, and now the temple would have the Ark of the Covenant, the temple, the presence of God would come and fill the temple. But here's what's happening in John chapter 1. When you come to verse 14, here's what it says. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the one and only Son of God." The language there actually has dwelt with us, literally can mean tabernacled with us. He came and took up residence with us. He came and he came to be with us. God has taken on flesh. Jesus Christ has come and He has provided the way for us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled with us. God left heaven, and He came to this earth, and He never stopped being God, but He took on flesh. The flesh that He created, humanity. God came and became like His creation. He became like you and me, yet He never stopped being God, because God can never stop being God. So you can think about it like this. God, Jesus, when He came and was born in Bethlehem, you had God 100% fully God. Jesus was 100% fully God all the time. And He was also 100% fully man all the time. Sometimes our minds think about like 100%, that you can't go beyond 100%, right? That's it. And so we think it's got to be 50-50, and then that makes up that. Once again, our math doesn't understand, right? Well, our minds don't understand fully how God can do things, who God is. Jesus came and He's 100% fully God all the time and forevermore. And when He took on flesh, He took on flesh 100% all the time, forevermore. He's fully God and fully man. He is the God-man. That's who He is. And so Jesus came, the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. Why? To be with us. Don't miss that. To be with us. To save us. To always be with us. That really is the great wonder of Christmas. Think about it. God with us. I've heard it said like this before, and this is very, very good. You've probably heard it, but I'm going to share it with you anyways. But you know, when Jesus came and was born in Bethlehem, it was at that moment we had God with us. But then you fast forward about 30 to 33 years later, and what you have is Jesus going to the cross. In Bethlehem, it's God with us, but at the cross, at Calvary, we have God for us. Because at the cross, God said, I will pour all of my wrath out upon my son. Every sin you've committed, the sin that separates you and me from holy, almighty God, the God-man went to the cross and the wrath of God was poured out upon him. Instead of God's wrath being poured out upon you, God said, I'm for you, and so I give my wrath to my son, and he took the whole thing down. And he gave his life so that you and I could be reconciled to God, that we could have salvation, that God would not only have come to be with us, but that God is for us. And then Jesus rose from the grave, didn't he? He's alive. And after he rose from the grave, remember what he told his disciples? He said, it's better for you that I go than stay. And why did he say it's better for you that I go than stay? He said, because if I go, I will send somebody to be with you. Do you know who that somebody is he sent to be with us? The Father and the Son sent the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, at the ascension of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. We have God in us. That's what Christmas is all about, my friend. God came to be with us. God is for us. And when we trust in Jesus, his finished work on the cross, and we wave the white flag and we surrender our lives to him, God says, I will send myself, the Spirit of God. I will come and I will dwell in you. Just like God dwell in the tabernacle, just like God dwell in the temple. That's why when you read in the New Testament, our body is the temple of the living God. Because of what Jesus did coming that first Christmas, he came to be with us, to be for us, and he came that his Spirit would come to live in us. You see, this is what Christmas is really all about. And I just want to encourage you to remember that you're not alone. You're not alone. Let me say it another way today. You don't have to be alone. God came for you. You don't need to be alone. Invite Jesus into your life. I love, in closing, what it says here in verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as, and this caught me like it's never caught me before this week. As the one and only Son from the Father. You know who Jesus is? He's the one and only. He's the one and only. There's no one like him. There's no one for you to compare him to. Listen, you have all these other religions. You have all these other cults. You have Buddha. You have Muhammad. You have New Ageism. You have Mormonism, you have Jehovah's Witnesses, you have all these different things all over the world, and everyone wants to say that there's all these different ways, but the Bible makes it clear, there's only one. There's the one and only, and his name is Jesus. And listen to me. We see that Jesus created everything. He's the creator. And here's who else he is. He's the completer as well. Did you know that? He's the finisher. The Bible says, he who began a good work in you will see to it that it's fulfilled and it comes to completion. You can trust in Jesus. You can give your life to him today because he's the Lord God Almighty. He will change your life. He will come to live and to dwell inside of you when you surrender to him. And what he begins in your life, he is going to finish it. Because that's who he is. I'm going to ask you to bow and stand to your feet as we prepare for a time of invitation. And as we pray, I just want to ask you this question this morning. Do you today need to wave the white flag? Do you today need to surrender your life to Jesus? Don't wait any longer. There's not going to be some aha moment. There's not going to be, well, I've learned enough now. Listen, you know everything you need to know today to surrender your life to Jesus. You come to Him by faith. If you do not have your life in Christ this morning, then you are separated from God. You don't have the presence of God in your life. But today that can change in this very moment. You come forward and surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe today you have another decision to make. You'd like to join our church or follow the Lord in believers' baptism, or perhaps you just need to come to the altar and pray. Right now is your time of response. Holy Spirit, we ask that you do what only you can do, God, right now as we yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come as we sing.